Well, joining me now on the phone is my good friend and Tribune colleague and I guess pod mate on the fourth floor of Tribune Tower, Hal Dardick, who covers City Hall for the Chicago Tribune. Hal, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Always my pleasure. How are you today?
I'm very good. I wanted to ask you about, and we kind of have tossed this concept around in the newsroom, of just how everything in Chicago these days kind of funnels down to Springfield and the Springfield impasse. So many things that the city wants, and the city, like virtually everything else, is hamstrung by Springfield.
Yeah, I remember when I was a Cub reporter and working out in DuPage County, and the then County Board Chairman Jack Knupfer once told me that that all local government is the creature of Springfield. What he meant by that was they really can't get anything done without state laws, without funding from Springfield, and it really showed in Chicago this week. There were three issues that are hung up and were discussed this week in Springfield that the city, and particularly Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, are depending on. Probably the most urgent is the $215 million additional funding for Chicago Public Schools that the public schools budget relied on this year, but of course Governor Rahner vetoed, and they're trying to get that passed again. The governor is holding that up along with the whole budget impasse, but he has proposed, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere yet, that if the House and Senate passed broader pension reform, the so-called Cullerton solution, that the $215 million could get approval. Without it, school could end early at CPS, and kids will lose a lot of time in school. There's also the a major pension bill that the mayor wants Rahner to sign, and without him signing that, his efforts to restore health to the city pension funds could falter. That's for the municipal and laborers fund. The municipal fund's the largest. It's billions of dollars in debt, and his plan, he's already increased the taxes on the water and sewer service in the city, but all Springfield has to do is sign off on the plan so the new workers can contribute more money, but Rahner isn't doing that because he's holding out. And there was also a bill that the mayor wants, although it's a little more controversial, for tougher gun sentencing guidelines for folks that are repeat offenders and caught with guns in the city, that the mayor is relying on as part of his platform to control the rising violence in the city. So all of those things are held up as there's this major impasse in Springfield, and all these are the mayor's major initiatives, and they're all stalled because he can't get help in Springfield right now.
Well, and you know, the issue with the pensions, as far as the Chicago Teachers Union and CPS pensions and the Cullerton proposal that you touched upon. And one of the things that Rahner has said was that he would separate out the issue of comprehensive pension changes to public employees statewide, separate that out of the so-called grand bargain, which was the attempt to try to break the impasse, separate that out, and then Chicago would get its $215 million that Rahner had vetoed earlier because of the lack of a comprehensive statewide solution. But at the same time, you have CPS and the mayor's office saying, well, that $215 million is only for a one-year payment for teacher pensions, and that the comprehensive pension changes that are contemplated in the Cullerton bill are permanent, and that's not a fair trade-off.
Yes, that's exactly what they're saying. They're resisting it. There is some resistance to the governor's solution for that very reason. And it makes some sense because Chicago Public Schools under Forrest Claypool has been arguing for well over a year now, I believe, that there isn't pension parity in the state, that the citizens in Chicago, or all the taxpayers in Chicago, fund their own pension plan, and that the state doesn't even give a comparable amount that it does to all the suburban and downstate school districts to the Chicago pensions. And so they want that, what they deem an inequity, although some of the Republicans would argue with it, certainly, what they deem an inequity, they want that fixed on a permanent basis. And there's some sense to that because they got to get through this year, but that problem doesn't go away at the end of this year by any means.
No, I mean, as we all know, the pension crisis just keeps getting deeper and deeper. The governor's office maintains, well, CPS gets a special block grant that no other school district gets, so they shouldn't be talking about parity. But, I mean, basically, the issue of pensions is, as I said, one that's not going away. And when you look at the spending on the statewide level, you're looking at literally almost a quarter of expenditures are for public employee pensions, which, and as those costs go deeper, takes away money from other kinds of programs.
Right, right. The city's enacted a lot of new taxes, as folks know, property taxes and the taxes on the water and the sewer, tax on cell phones for 911 services, all to pay for pensions, and it's dramatically increased the burden on individuals there. At the same time, just like the state, there is the risk that it could still bite into the amount of money that the city has to do other things, because in about 4 or 5 years, the pension debt at the city will be larger than it is today. And in order to even that out under the mayor's plan, there's going to have to be hundreds of millions of dollars more in new revenue. So does, if they can't raise that revenue, does that cut into the city budget? It's a problem of obviously financially plaguing the entire state. I think it's going on in a lot of suburbs and downstate communities, too.
We're speaking with my Chicago Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick, City Hall reporter for the Tribune. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Well, I'm going to write a little letter. I'm going to mail it to my local DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven. I got to hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. I roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. I caught the rolling off the writer sitting down at a rhythm review. I roll over Beethoven, they're rocking in 2x2.
The great Chuck Berry, the great Chuck Berry, as we remember him, he passed away yesterday at 90. Actually, on Twitter, Meredith Frost, who's a producer at ABC News, posted a copy of this letter from October of 1986. Dear Chuck Berry, when they tell you your music will live forever, you can usually be sure they're exaggerating. But Johnny B. Goode is on the Voyager Interstellar Records, attached to NASA's Voyager spacecraft, now 2 billion miles from Earth and bound for the stars. These records will last 1 billion years or more. That letter from Carl Sagan. Well, joining me on the phone is my good friend Hal Dardick. He is the City Hall reporter at the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about some of the issues that the city faces, problems with Springfield. Hal, I wanted to ask you about kind of the issue of, we had the president unveil his budget. Now, of course, as budgets go, presidents really don't get their budget. It's whatever Congress does for appropriations. But still, there are a number of concerns that the city has about what President Trump has proposed.
Yeah, certainly. With the caveat that you just mentioned, that presidents' budgets don't always get approved, and as you were talking about earlier with the health care proposals, that seems to be hitting a lot of resistance. And so is his budget proposal. And City Hall told me this week, or officials in the budget office told me, that they're taking a look at what the president has proposed, but they're not looking too hard because they want to see what Congress changes. But if even some of his proposals went through, the city could be short on all kinds of funding. The city this year, for example, is going to get about $1.3 billion in federal funding, or at least that's the expectation. And there's some pretty crucial things in there. There's $81 million in the Community Development Block Grant Fund. Those are funds that communities across the state get to do a lot of the work for people that are in great need, homeless people, to provide them housing, counseling for people in domestic violence, things of that nature. And if the city lost all that, it would be very hard-pressed to provide those kind of services for the least among us. And there's also millions of dollars for hiring police officers in there. There's $45 million that might be diminished slightly for terrorism preparedness. So all of that is a concern to the municipalities who don't, and especially the city that doesn't have the wherewithal to raise additional funds to continue providing those services, or would have to have some vast tax increase in order to do that. So just as much, I guess, as local government's a creature of the state, it's a creature of the federal government, too.
Well, and when you look at some things like the community development block grants, as well as other proposals in the Trump budget that would vastly eliminate or reduce funding for things like after-school programs. And then at the same time as you have that, you had Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson meeting with Attorney General Jeff Sessions about, you know, as much as the president has tweeted about and mentioned Chicago's gun violence, you know, where federal resources could help the city. That's what the superintendent told Jeff Sessions. At the same time, you turn around and you look at elements of the budget that the president has proposed. And budgets are kind of a statement of priorities.
Certainly. And they want to up the military spending, reduce spending in other areas. And if it doesn't go nearly as far as the president's proposed, it's going to affect the city. And in terms of fighting crime, the superintendent went in and said, we would like you to put in more resources, more prosecutors, more FBI agents to stop the gun trafficking that goes on that brings these guns into the communities where the crime is surging. They would like more money for after-school programming, for neighborhood initiatives, to get kids off the streets, find other things for them to do. And without that the president committed to that sort of thing, it's not likely to happen. So it certainly a statement of priorities, and it doesn't seem to be going the way that the city would like.
And kind of in a related tact is, we still don't know what the Attorney General and the Justice Department under Donald Trump intend to do about pursuing a consent agreement over the issue of the Justice Department's investigation into the Chicago Police Department.
Right. That's the other major issue facing the city, is police reform. And the former Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, came in and the city signed a statement of principle saying we're committed to going into court and putting this under the purview of a judge to oversee all the reforms that we need to restore trust between police and the community so that we can fight crime. And you know, there's the whole, of course, the Quan McDonald video and all of the protests and the concerns in African-American, other minority communities, that they can't trust the police because there's been abuses in the past. And without that consent decree, people question whether the department can really reform. And interesting, it's hard to know. The mayor certainly committed to signing that consent decree, but at the time, you probably had to know that with the new U.S. Attorney General coming in, Jeff Sessions, that it might not be a reality because he has spoken against that. It's been more of a let's back our police officers sort of politician and wary of those consent decrees. And so the mayor, is he totally committed? He says he is committed to reform, but without that consent decree, he loses, in some sense, a little leverage. And that is, if the Fraternal Order of Police is pushing back, doesn't want to change its contract, the mayor, if he has a consent decree, can say, look, I have no choice. The federal government, the courts are telling me to do this. Without it, he loses a little bit of leverage, and it's more likely to be compromise that would weaken those reform efforts.
And I think that's one of these issues of is TBD, to be determined, when it comes to just how far those reforms will actually go.
Absolutely, and to be determined seems to be the subject of our conversation today, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's Hal Dardick, my great Tribune colleague, City Hall reporter. We're going to take a quick break. Hal, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Rick.
You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.